Now we have this week's project by Yishla.
Okay.
And this really is looking at the end of the parsha. We have this long extended genealogy of Esav and all of his kids and his in-laws and their families, and then a list of kings of Edom, right? Ela, source one, Ela Malachim Hashem Malchu Be'eretz Edom, Lifnei Moloch Melech Livnei Israel. These are the kings who ruled in the land of Edom, right, which is Esav, before any king ruled for if there was any king for B'nai Israel.
Yeah.
So if I could spell Yisrael, that would help. The Torah is written as B'nai Israel are leaving Egypt, right? So what does Lifnei Moloch Melech Livnei Israel mean? Right,
Okay.
they don't have a king. The first king is not going to be incarnated for another 300 plus years.
So it's Lifnei.
Okay, so it doesn't exist, right? There's no Melech. So the Mepharshim are bothered by that. I mean, honestly, that's where we're going to end up. But that Melech here is Moshe, right? It's referring to the leadership of the creation of the new nation, and that these are the kings that ruled Edom before Bnei Israel were even a nation. That's Rashbam, with name Loch Melech, with name Moshe, Shehoshiat Yisrael.
Yeah, well, I guess it's bothersome because it makes it sound like the Torah was written way later.
Hold that thought, but don't think it.
No, God forbid.
Okay. Similarly, Sfarno says the name with name Loch Melech, Kodem Sheyimloch Moshe Aleihem. God commanded
Yeah.
with the rulers. That's okay. Okay. So Ibn Ezra brings the answer you just mentioned. I call it the academic answer, and rejects it. Okay. Ibn Malchim, Yitzchaki Amar B'Sifro. We're not sure who Yitzchaki is. It's not Rashi, but it's probably it's a Karaite, because he quotes a lot of Karaites. The Yitzchaki said in his book, Ki Bimei Hoshafat Nichtavah Zot HaParsha.
Oh, well.
Written much later, time of Yoshafat. That's the point when Edom rebelled against, well, Edom was a client state of Yehuda for many centuries, but in Yehoshaphat they rebelled. So then this relates to the time of Yehoshaphat. Uperish hadaro kirtzono, no, and he explained all these generations the way he wanted to. Hechi kara shemo Yitzchak, and this is why they called him Yitzchak. Kol shomea Yitzchak lo, because everyone who hears this will laugh at him. Achalila chalila. And God forbid that he should be right. This was written later. The Sifro Ra'ui Lehisaref. And we should burn his book.
Not him.
He doesn't want to burn Yitzchak himself, but the book that suggests that he was stuck in Torah. No, we're not going to go there at all. Okay? So what he does, he says, okay, he gives two other possibilities. One of that was a nevuah, as a prophecy. He doesn't like it. Nobody likes it because it's all these specific prophecy. Why do I need Nevuah about the names of kings of Edom? There's no tachlis. There's no purpose to it. Okay, so that's what he says. Source five. Yish omrim ki parsha. There's written Nevuah, but the truth is shepirish. The meaning is the fame Moloch Melech al Moshe Melech Yisrael. Okay, so he's going to go with other Mefarshim that this is right. Moshe's saying that yet right now you guys have a king. That's me. Looking at Tuv, and he reads the pasuk in Hazine Vayhi Bishur Melech, in Bracha, there was a king in Yeshurun among Israel. Most explain that Melech referring to Hashem, but Ibn Ezra says no, that's talking about Moshe.
Wait, but if you take the prophecy idea, is that the prophecy of the king, future kings of Edom? They were past, no?
No, that's right. No, the reading there is saying that these are kings that went up to the point that there would be a king in Israel.
Oh.
Okay, so these are kings that will be for next 300. That's the because I mean
Oh.
the answer is the answer you gave before that, and Ramban gives us explicitly. It's not before the king we have now. This is all long before we have a king. Right? Tov Melech is we're wandering the wilderness now. We don't even have a nation, and these people not only have had a king, they've had eight kings going on for generations. One
Okay.
day we'll have a real country. Edomites have had eight kings so far. That's Ramban. right? This name Melchizedek, Yamim Rabim Kodem, right? Long before there was a king. There will be a king, but Edom has had a king all this time. The Ein Ta'am this name Loch Melech, Shenimshacha Malchut Ela Ad Malchut Israel. There's no reason to think that this list goes up to the point of Shaul, the first king.
Right.
Right? You don't have to read it that way. You're overreading the words.
I like this one. Okay.
Okay, that's where we're going to go with. Okay, and the question is, what did we have to bring it then? Right? It's Moshe talking to Israel. They've just come out of 2 centuries of exile and slavery, and they're looking at their cousins, the Edomites, right? Edomites. They've been living in a settled nation state for all that time. You know, it's like,
Thanks.
wait, why are they there and we're still wandering around the wilderness? We don't even have our own country. We don't have a Melech Melech Israel yet. Okay, Yeshua. I can't spell here. Yeshua. Yeshua makes the same point. This is a passage we quote in the Haggadah. It should sound familiar to you. Yitzchila, right? And Yeshua goes the whole history. This source 7. V'kacha et Abraham. I took your father Abraham out me'evra nahar from across the river. And I had him walk through all of the land of Canaan, Barbet, and I multiplied his descendants. Ve'ten lo Yitzchak, and I gave him Yitzchak. Ve'ten li Yitzchak et Yaakov et Esav. And Yitzchak had two sons, Yaakov and Esav. Ve'ten Esav et Har Seir, l'resh toto, and Esav got the mountains of Seir to inherit it. Yaakov banav yardu Mitzrayim. Yaakov, his descendants, went down to Egypt. Hirsch makes the same point that Esau's destiny developed rapidly while Jacob's descendants were still languishing in slavery in Egypt. Edom had already blossomed down to a state with a whole row of royal dynasties. That's the contra. Edom's got a country, Israel doesn't. And Moshe emphasizes that when they're coming out, well, this is in Parshat Chukat. When they're coming out of Egypt and they're trying to, get through the land of Edom, Moshe sends messengers. And he said, oh, sorry, this is not it. This is Moshe talking to Bnei Israel first. Probably telling Bnei Israel, right? When you're about to go around, you're about to go to around Edom, you're going to see those Edomites over there with their own country. Remember, Shem Amor, God told me, Rab lechem so v'dahar hazeh, but punus lechem. It's, you've gone around the mountains. You went all the way down to the south to Eilat. So it's time to turn north. At the Am Tzav and command the people. Atem avrim b'gvul achakem b'nei Esav. You're about to go past the boundary of your brethren Esav that live in the land of Seir. You're mikem. You should fear them. Yishmaratem. I'll be very careful. Don't bother them. Don't provoke them. Because you will not get any of their land, even a footstep of the land of Edom. Because I, God, gave that to Esau as their inheritance.
And where's that now? Is that Jordan?
No, it's the Negev.
Oh.
Yeah, so we own that. So it's the Negev plus southern Jordan. Plus southern Jordan. I mean, really far south. It kind of right up to the border with Saudi Arabia.
Well, this is interesting. You
Okay.
know, we base our God gave us, you know, Abraham bought the land, God promised it to us. That's why we have a right to it, but we don't have a right to this part.
We don't. And I mostly keep going to the pasuk there, right? That the people, the Chori, the ones who live in this land called Seir, and Bnei Esav conquered them, pushed them out, Yeshua talks about and settled there in their place. Just as Bnei Esav are about to inherit their land, God gave Eretz Canaan to Bnei Israel. God gave Eretz HaChori, Seir, to Edom as a gift. That's what he's saying. Moshe pointed out the contrast, right? He's rubbing Bnei Israel's nose in this, okay? That You'll notice as you're walking that your ancestor Yaakov didn't get their chance to form a nation. Edom did, and that's not an accident. That was part of God's plan. Our parsha now describes how Esav moved to the land of Seir, who is his father-in-law, and that's where he settles, and he founds the nation of Edom, eventually conquers it, becomes the rulers of that area. It says that, right? It says after Yaakov comes back home, they live together peacefully for a while, and then by Esav banav, then Esav takes his wives and his children, and his whole household, and all his animals, all his property, that he had accumulated in Canaan. And he goes to another land with Yaakov because of Yaakov's brothers, his brother. Because they had too much stuff to live together. And the land that they dwelled in couldn't handle both of them because they had so much cattle. And so Esav settled on and the land of the mountains of Seir. Esav hu Edom. This is Esav, who would be the nation of Edom. And yet, when Yaakov dies, Yaakov and when, oh, sorry, when Yitzchak dies, Yaakov and Esav live together peacefully for a while. Because Esav wanted to kill Yaakov, not so much because he stole the bracha, but because the stuff that the bracha promised, right? Right. Esav heard knew that Yaakov got this bracha. You'll have all this great stuff, and as long as Esav is rich, Esav is happy. There's no reason to kill Yaakov at that point. That's the whole point of all these gifts at the beginning of the parsha. It gets too crowded. Esav moves to Seir. It seems out of character for Esav to cede the land to Yaakov, right? If he's set intent on having stuff, why does he push Yaakov out? So Midrash says so there's something deeper there. There's a deeper meaning. What does it mean? Vayelech el eretz mipnei Yaakov achiv. He left to another land because of Yaakov. This is Bereishis Rabbah. Rabbi Elazar Omer. Mipnei shtarcho. It's cost of the debt that was hanging over them, which said, Ki ger yezaracha. Hey, they all knew there was this prophecy from their grandpa that your descendants, your the Zera of Abraham, will end up being slaves, will be strangers in another land. Rabbi Shua ben Levi Omer b'pnei busha. Esav left because of his shame. So Rashi explains that on the pasuk. First of all, the land couldn't handle them. La speak mir el be mochalehem. There wasn't enough grazing for all their animals. That's pshat. Umidrash Agada, the midrash on this, Bnei Yaakov Achiv, he left because of Yaakov, Bnei Asharchov shel Gezerat ki ger yezeracha. That this Gezerah was hanging over them. Mutal al Zarosh Yitzchak. That was hanging over the descendants of Yitzchak. This was going to happen. Right? Ger yezeracha will be slaves for 400 years. Amar, so Esav says, Elech limikah. So I'm getting out of here. Ein li chelek lo b'matanah shenitna lanu ha'aretz hazot lo b'pirion hashtar. I don't want the gift. I don't want to pay the price. I don't need the slavery. I'm just out of here. Yaakov, you keep the whole prophecy, blessing, all that fancy God stuff. That's you. And with their busha, the shame, shemacha b'choratel. They sold the birthright. Right, because the brothers fully knew that this prophecy was there, right? By Yomer Abraham, Yadet, you should surely know. He ger yezer achab, your descendants will be strangers in a land not theirs, Babadum, and they will serve them, Binyotam, and they will oppress them. Abraham Yachana 400 years. And he says he wants none of that. Slavery, no oppression. That means the land of Israel, so be it. They're gone. And Moshe actually reminds Edom of that. This is the part I'm saying. When Moshe sends messages to Edom, like, here we are, we've come out of Egypt, we'd like to go through your land to get to Canaan. He sends messengers. Moshe sends messengers from Kadesh, where they're camped, to the king of Edom. He says, Yisrael, thus saith your brother Israel, you know all the exhaustion that have that we found ourselves in. But you do have a tame Mitzrayim. Our ancestors went down to Egypt. And we were there for many years. But Mitzrayim, the Egyptians were terrible to us, and to our ancestors. And we called out to God, and he heard our voice. And he sent the messenger. He took us out of Egypt. So now we are camped in Kadesh, the city right on your border. Let us pass through land. We will not cross through fields or vineyards. We will not drink from the well. We'll stay on the highways. We will not go left or right until we go through your border. That was his message. And Rashi says on that, Mara'a Lazkir Kana Achva. Why mention Achecha Yisrael? Achicha Yisrael. We are your brothers. Ela Amarlo, what he was telling, what Moshe was reminding, King of Edom is Achim Anachva. We're brothers. B'nai Abraham, both descendants of Abraham. Shnei Amarlo, who was told, Ki Ger Yezer Acha, while Shneinu Haya Oto Achov L'Faro, both of us should have paid that price.
Well, Yaakov got the inheritance, the
Right.
legacy.
That's the point that Esav rejected it. That's what they're saying here. That Esav decided he doesn't want it. Right?
Oh.
That's why Lefichach perish Abichem me'alavatan. And that's why your ancestor Esav
Oh,
left the army.
not you, but them. Okay. Way back then,
Way
he
back then.
rejected it.
Right? Esav left Canaan because he didn't want the He didn't want the land, he didn't want the price, he didn't want the reward, right? It was not worth it. Yaakov, right? Yaakov, and he said, Yaakov, it's all yours. I'm out of here. And this bushash, this shame that he sold the birthright, is not that he was embarrassed he had sold it for a mess of pottage back when he was 15. That didn't matter. The busha is what happened as an adult. To say that he left because he rejected what this destiny that Avram had given them, what offered him. What they did when they were 15-year-old kids was just foreshadowed.
Wait,
That's
when
why.
does he reject it as an adult?
Yaakov, when he leaves Canaan,
Oh, but he had already rejected it.
you know, he sold the Bechor, but that didn't have any meaning, right? That's not legally binding. It didn't mean anything that selling the Bechor. That just indicated how he felt about it. Okay. It's like you could definitely have said, well, no, I still want my share of it. And it's not clear that Yaakov rejected that, right? This Esav is one who left. Right? When Esav writes, Vayocha Vayesh, Vayakam Vayelach, right? Esav eats, drinks, gets up and leaves, but he visits Esav to Bechara, and Esav rejects the birthright. That just shows his attitude. It's not legally binding. You can't legally sell that kind of thing. It shows how he felt, and he kept that. He didn't want it. Here's what, because Esav demonstrates, this is what the Vayivez Bechara really, this is what it means to be Vayivez
It goes
Esav.
a little bit against the idea that he wanted to kill Yaakov for stealing it.
You want to kill Yaakov for stealing the bracha, not the bechorah.
Oh.
Again, the bracha was, "Vayitein lecha mital shamayim, mishamnei ha'aretz." You're going to be rich. You're going to be powerful. Which is why, when Yaakov comes back and says, "Adoni Esav," and he hears all these gifts, and I don't have fields. I don't. None of the bracha came true. Esav loves him and kisses him. He's fine with that.
I see.
Esav's
Okay.
not right. Esav just wants stuff, right? He wants the inheritance. And he has stuff. He's rich. So
Okay.
Yaakov can keep the bracha, can keep the bechorah, doesn't need that. Okay? He doesn't want the future, the land, and the mission. The price is too high. He'd rather be an ordinary nation, intermarrying with everyone around him. The whole end of the parsha is how he intermarries with the year, and with ordinary politics and ordinary destiny.
So, but then they don't let Israel through, right? Edom
They don't.
later.
Yeah, they don't let Israel through. They don't go to war. Israel has to go around there.
They don't go to war.
They don't fight. He comes out and threatens them if they do go through. Comes out with an army. There will be wars later with it, though.
Yeah,
We got
that's
Tanakh.
different. Okay.
But I think that's the point here is that Moshe is leading these people who have not had an ordinary history. Even now, you're about to enter Eretz Yisrael. You don't have a melech. You don't have a melacha. But you want one, right? You want to be an ordained nation, right? That's what Moshe tells them, right? When you come to this land, God gives you. You'll settle it. Let me have a king like all the nations that are around me. And Moshe is telling them, you know what? You want to know what Medinat Yisrael looks like without Brit Abraham? If you don't have that history, you want to be an ordinary country with ordinary history, then you can look at your twin brother, Eid Edom. That's what happens. You go that route, you end up being 43 sentences in someone else's book. Right? The whole chapter here, Lamed Vav, Elo to the Esav Adam, and it goes then and who Esav via Adam. And that's it. You get a paragraph in an encyclopedia about the past. Have you seen Grokopedia? I started using that.
What a PDF?
Grokopedia, it's a different encyclopedia than Wikipedia.
Grokopedia. I never heard of it.
No, it's Elon Musk's baby. Wikipedia's gotten kind of nasty, especially like stuff. If you read any of the articles, I had anything Jewish in there, they're all about how terrible they are. But here's what it says. Edom was an ancient Iron Age kingdom in the southern Levant, primarily occupying this region of modern-day southern Jordan, southeast of the Dead Sea. There you are. And that's it. You want to be Edom, you're a nation, you'll exist, then you won't exist, and you'll be done. And you want to be, if to be Bnei Yisrael, you have an eternal future. And that's what the price you pay for being be duotam arba meot shana, the slavery, all the misery, we still have an eternal destiny. And this was from a sefer that Sarah got me called the Seder Ha'aruch. It's a Haggadah with all sorts of commentary by Moshe Yaakov Weingarten. Senior Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if I take a neder, to any nenel zera Abraham, I refuse to get any benefit from the descendants of Abraham. What does that mean? Asur b'Yisrael mutar ba'avdei kochavim. That means Jews. Zera Abraham, even though we have the Abraham Accords, and there are lots of people who are Zera Abraham, when you use that term, you mean Bnei Israel. The Rambam says, "Beperushim Mishnayot says Zera Abraham, but Torah hainu Zera Yaakov b'vad, because it's he Fishneh Mark. It says Ki ger ye zaracha be'eretz lo lecha. The Zera Abraham, you have to be counted as those who went through the ger ye zaracha, the slavery, the return. Then it came ze ela bezer Yaakov b'vad. This is only fulfilled with Yaakov. Fisha brit shel zaracha natati ta'aretz hazot, that part of that brit, that's brit brevetarium, that zaracha to your descendants, I give this land. So Leah, it depends on ki ger ye zaracha be'eretz lo lehem. That's one depends on the other one. That's the price we paid to get for getting Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's why maskirim b'Haggadah, that's why we quote that pasuk in the Haggadah. She'esa ki bilah har seir l'reshetato. V'yashav shav v'shalva. That's the point we're making, is that Esav moves to Seir, lives there in peace, has a perfectly ordinary country. Lo halach l'galut, was never exiled. L'chein ein lo zechut l'reshet ha'aretz, has therefore he has nothing to do with the land of Israel, the Holy Land. Yaakov anav shehirim Mitzrayimah, it came by him as he ger yeh zaracha b'eretz lo lehem. So Yaakov, his descendants, fulfilled the price of ger yeh zaracha. Your children will be strangers. Rak b'hem l'chlach havtachat l'zaracha natati ta'aretz. So they're the ones who get the zaracha natati. You get the land. And that's what B'nai Israel. It's not to have a list of kings in an encyclopedia article, but our goal is l'fnei imloch melech b'Yisrael, is to establish the destiny of the ruler of the true king. We're just there not for a physical king, but to say that Hashem is king over the world. That's our job, and that's Haftorah for this week's parasha. That we're not Esau. We have Beit Yaakov Ish. The house of Yaakov will be like fire. Beit Yaakov Yosef Lahava, and Yosef's household will be a flame. Beit Esav Lakash, and Esav will be like straw. Dakula Bahem Lachum, and will light them on fire and consume them. Liasarila Beit Esav Ki Hashem Diber, and there will be no remnant of Esav as Hashem spoke.
Oh, where's that from?
He's Ovadia. He's very anti-Edom.
Oh.
Haftorah, you read the Haftorah. And it ends with Valumashim part Esav, that they will the redeemers will stand on Har Tzion, and they will judge the mountains of Esav by Tal Hashem Hamlucha, and that's the Melech Yisrael. The Hashem will soon.
They didn't start out that way. They started out prosperous and with
Exactly.
kings.
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
I said they didn't start out so bad. They started out prosperous and with all their kings.
Yes, they did. But that's the cycle of history, right? They have it, are there for a time and then fade away.
Yeah.
That's the way nations happen.
Accept us.
And that's right. That's what Moshe is telling them right here, right? You want to look in the mirror and this kind of the mirror of Erised from Harry Potter. Imagine what it would be like without the Shiva Mitzrayim, without getting accepting the Torah. Look at Edom. That's who you would have been. There, glorious kingdom. That's great. Conquered by Babylonians, gone. And people read about you afterwards on the internet. That's not
So,
us.
what do you make about that pasuk earlier on about this land will not be yours, this peace?
That we shouldn't. Yeah,
Or that we don't have a right to it?
I mean, I
God
don't.
didn't, it's not part of
Did
what
not
God
give
promised us.
in right. So the historical Eretz Yisrael does not include a lot. How far,
Right.
for south of Beer Sheva, really. And there's a halakha of questions about that entirely. Does it count as Eretz Yisrael for those other halakhot as well?
Right.
That's a far bigger topic they want to get to in the next minute and a half.
Right. When does it come up with Pesach? No, with Truma? When does it come up?
It'll come up for Truma. It'll
So,
come.
like in a lot, they don't take today
That's
Truma?
I don't know what to say the halacha, right? And what counts as expanding the borders of Eretz Yisrael? There are ways of doing that, right? I mean, those are good halacha questions.
Yeah.
Lioro Seminary would not let them go down to Eilat.
Oh.
It's not part of Eretz Yisrael. You're on vacation. Find someplace else. But Meira did. In terms of Tanakh, David conquers Edom. It was a
Oh,
client
very,
state.
very interesting.
Shlomo had a port, had a fleet that traveled out of Eilat. That was part of their.
Oh, and he had the mines down there, right?
Right. The mines down there. He would import all the gold from Africa through Eilat. Etz Yaakov. That was it was an Edomite city that was basically part of Israel. And under Yehoshaphat, they rebelled. And they were independent. They weren't. Under the Romans, it was a separate province. There was Palestina and there was Idumea.
Wow.
The complicated history there with Edom.
Yeah. Okay, very good. Very nice. Interesting history. And you're sick.
Don't know. This cough has just been lasting for a while.
Well, it's late. Go to sleep.
Okay, I'm going to stop here. Stop
Good.
recording.
A very good interesting.